Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. Oh, the power of the Lord is here.
Yes, yes. The Spirit of God is always here, no matter what you do or no matter what you think. The beauty and the real benefit is when you begin to recognize that it's here. Good evening, podcast audience. This is Kenny Hodge, co-producer of Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio. And tonight, again, we have the messenger. We have a brother who I believe, and many others believe, that has been sent here to get us to open our minds and to think about what is really possible, and not to limit or ever attempt to limit the beauty of the Creator. So without further ado, I present to some and introduce to other, no other than our own brother messenger, Rondaya.
Blessings, my brother. Blessings to you, my brother. I thank you for those great accolades. But I just want to go over that just to let everyone know that we have all been sent here. It's just all a question of awakening, a coming to the true knowledge of who God and you really are. And so this is what these podcasts, this message is about, just trying to get us to remember who it is that we are. What we're going to discuss today, just going to go over our creative process. One of the things we have to understand that thoughts are creative. And so we've got to be careful with our thoughts. We've got to train our mind to think precisely on what it is that we want. One of the things that we have to be aware of is when we start wanting things, what happens is because we start wanting things, they become their thoughts and they become creative. And so the thought of wanting a thing is a statement to the universe, a declaration of truth, and then the universe produces it in your reality. And then you might ask, then, well, how come the things that I'm wanting I don't have? Because you have to understand what you just did. You asked the universe to give you that wanting spirit, that wanting desire. So this is why you're constantly wanting, because that is what you ask the universe for. The moment you say, I want something, the universe says, indeed you do, and gives you that precise experience, the experience of wanting it. Whatever you put after the word I becomes your creative command. It's the genie in the bottle, so to speak. Which I am exists but to obey. God produces what you call forth. You call forth precisely what you think, feel, and say. It's as simple as that. So this is why it's important that we are aware of what we think, our mind. We've got to start controlling our minds a little better so that we can be able to create our reality.
But Brother Messenger, how does one get to the point where you control your mind to the point to think, to stop thinking, I want anything? How does one begin to condition their mind for that?
Well, just knowing that anything that you put after the word I becomes your creative command. So when you say I want, or I will, or I do, or you know what I mean, I am. That is like saying, you know, with the genie in the bottle, I wish for this, I wish for that. That is what happens. So now that you know this, you've got to, when you find yourself wanting stuff, you have to change it. If let's say you want finances. So instead of saying, I want finances, you say, I am financially secure, or I love money, or you know what I mean? You got to get the word, because the word wanting is going to give you that experience of wanting. So you've just got to be, you know, so what we've got to do is we've got to start, this is all part of retraining our minds on how to think. Because right now our minds think that there are certain things we can't have. And then you might say, well, so why does it take so much time for your reality, for you to create your reality? And it's a number of reasons. But one of them is because you do not believe you can have what you choose. And that's very important. And right now I'm preaching to myself, okay? A lot of times we believe that we cannot have what we choose, because we do not know what to choose, because we keep trying to figure out what's best for us. Because we want guarantees ahead of time that all our choices will be good. And because we keep changing our minds, this is what takes our reality so long to come to fruition. Because we keep changing our minds. One day we'll say we want $1 million. The next day we'll say we want $10 million. So we're right steady changing our minds all the time. So when you set out a command to the universe starts at the ball rolling. And then as soon as it starts the ball rolling, you've already changed it. So now it's got to reverse the course and start another ball rolling. So this is the reason why it takes us so long, and it makes us leery of the powers that we do possess.
So that takes us back to some of our earlier conversation, but when we said we got to understand whose we are, because when you first understand that your natural ability is God given, it's God represented. When you understand that, again, it'll make all your thoughts different.
That's correct. Yes.
When I realize that I am God, God is, well, when I say I am God, His Spirit dwells in my body. When I realize that, again, it'll make you talk different. It'll make you walk different. Again, if you know that God is, once again, when you know that you know that you know that you walk in with God, what people say no longer affect you. You know what I'm saying? When you know that.
And when you know that, what's going to also, what you'll begin to notice also is, you know how people have a tendency to really get under your skin? You see that differently as well, because first of all, you realize that you and that person are the same. It's just that that person is still in darkness and hasn't awoken to who he really is. So you have a little bit more patience and understanding and acceptance of people in their silly ways that we would consider silly, because we understand that we were once there. And it was just the fact that we awoken to the true spirit, to who we really are, that that could have been us. So you have more compassion for one another. So, and that, that part of the walk is also the same. The closer you get with God, all of this other stuff, you know, there was, there's a saying in the scripture in the Bible that says, be in the world, but not of the world. All right. And so a lot of people seem to take that meaning, be in the world, but don't have you a great car, don't have you a nice house, don't have you a good time. That's not what it is. What it is be in the world, but don't act like the world. Don't think like the world thinks. You've got to think on a more spiritual, higher plane. And I'll tell you this, too. The closer you get with God, the less you want the big house, the fine cars, the money in your pocket. The closer you get with God, because you become to realize that you don't need those things. And I'll tell you this, believe it or not, when you realize you don't need those things, guess what?
They come to you.
They just start coming. That is correct, Sister Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
It just starts coming to you. But because we start, and part of it is because we, as I said, it stated a few seconds ago, is the fact that when we really desire something, we're sending all kind of signals out to the universe. You know what I mean? Like one minute we want to be president. The next minute we want to be the vice president. You know what I mean? We keep sending all kinds of different things out there trying to figure out what we think is best.
No, Brother Messenger. We still want to be president. Go ahead.
We still want to be president?
Okay. Yeah, we still want to be president, Brother Messenger.
But here's the thing. You've got there. You were president.
Yeah.
Okay. You're president. So now it's time to take it higher. Because you've already got that reality that you chose. You've got that. So now to take it to another level is fine.
Mm.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just when we're changing midstream. And I don't know, I guess I don't know, but it really wasn't meant for you, because it's just showing us how easy it is for us to change our minds on what we think is best. I'll give you a better example. I want a Cadillac. No, you know what? I want a Mercedes. Which one you want? You know what I mean? So what we've got to start understanding, that best is just a relative term. Depending on hundreds of variables that make choices very difficult, there should only be one consideration when making any decision. Is this a statement of who I am? Is this an announcement of who I choose to be? So what I mean by that is when you decide it is something that you desire, instead of going back and forth, will $5 million, will $5 million be a statement that this is who I am? Or is it going to take $10 million? Which one is it going to be? Whatever it's going to be, and this all depends on the person per se, whichever it is going to be, let that be it, and then be the best that you are. This is a statement that who I am. So whatever it is that you come up with, let that be it, and then move on. All of life should be such an announcement. In fact, all of life is, you can allow that announcement to be made by chance or by choice. And that's what life is. Life is just a statement of, this is who I am. Some days I ain't, according to other people, I ain't no good. It's a statement that who I am. So this is why we have to be aware of how we're living our lives. And once again, remember when I say living our lives, that don't mean carrying your Bible, going to church every Sunday. That's not what, you can have a good time. You can have what you would consider a good time. Roller skating, playing pool. And these things, you can have a good time doing these things. And it can be a statement of who you are. It's not a bad thing. And it's all part of the reprogramming of who we really are.
Amen.
Yes. All right.
Amen.
You took that.
A life
like...
lived. Well, I was just trying to give you guys a chance to see if you wanted to comment before I moved on a little further. That's all that was.
All right.
Just know this: a life lived by choices is a life of conscious action. A life lived by chance is a life of unconscious reactions. Reactions is just that, an action you have taken before. When you react, what you do is assessing the incoming data, search your memory banks for the same or nearly the same experience, and act the way you did before. This is all the work of the mind, not the soul. Your soul would have you search its memories to see how you might create a truly genuine experience of you in the now moment. This is the experience of the soul searching, of which you have so often heard, but you have to be literally out of your mind to do it. You've got to be lit, because when the mind starts to take control, the mind is reacting. So when you say I want to go to Atlantic City, first thing you start thinking about is the other times that you went to Atlantic City and the things that happened. So this is all part of the reconditioning of the mind. When you spend your time trying to figure out what's best for you, you are doing just that. Spending your time. Better to save your time than to spend it wastefully. It is a great time saver to be out of your mind. Decisions are reached quickly. Choices are acted rapidly because your soul creates out of present experience only, without reviews, analysis, and criticisms of past encounters. Remember, the soul creates, the mind reacts. The soul knows in its wisdom that the experience you are having in the moment is an experience sent to you by God before you had any conscious awareness of it. This is what is meant by a preset experience. It's already on the way to you even as you are seeking it. For even before you ask, God shall have answered you. Every now moment is a glorified gift from God. I'll say this one more time. Every now moment is a glorious gift from God. And that's why it's called the present.
Amen.
The soul instinctively seeks the perfect circumstances and situations now needed to heal wrong thoughts and bring you the right experience of who you really are. It is the soul's desire to bring you back to God, to bring you home to God. It is the soul's intention to know itself experientially, and thus to know God. For the soul understands that you and God are one. Even as the mind denies this truth, the body acts out this denial. Therefore, in moments of great decision, be out of your mind and do some soul searching instead. The soul understands what the mind cannot conceive. If you spend your time trying to figure out what's best for you, your choices will be cautious. Your decisions will take forever, and your journey will be launched on a sea of expectations. If you're not careful, you will drown in your expectations. So what I want us to understand is the importance of the soul. We've got to back off a little bit of this education that we think that we know.
All right.
And rely more on what it is that the soul is trying to tell you. And it just came to me just thinking about for a moment, Nurse Carmen, what transpired with you today. Your mind was telling you not to go,
right?
But the soul was in agreement with you going, and you had a good time.
Yes, sure did.
And this is how it will work for us if we stop trying to think our way through things, because we got to remember, when we're thinking our way, what we're really doing is reacting to situations. Anytime we've got to think about something, then we're reacting to it, because we're searching our database, not the soul's database. We're searching the mind's database, which is so limited. But when we search the soul's database, it is infinity. Because the soul knows who it is. The soul knows that it is a part of God, and everything that God knows, the soul knows. We just have to be mindful of it and listen more to the soul. Then you say, how do I listen to the soul? The soul speaks to you in feelings. Listen to your feelings. Follow your feelings. Honor your feelings. And if you follow your feelings, that is the soul speaking to you. How many times have we said, I knew I should have did that?
Mm-hmm.
We did. That's because we didn't follow the feelings from our soul.
That's right.
You still with me, brother?
Oh, yes, sir, my brother. I'm here. I'm taking it in.
Okay.
So I would like to say, I'm sorry.
No, good.
I would like to say that just a quick segue, and I do apologize that I've been communicating with this minister on Facebook, and I'm sorry I can't think of his. Oh, brother Kyle Butler, and again he hit me with some interesting concepts on love, and I thought about. And I contacted the brother. So just to the podcast audience, I want everybody to know that hopefully, if not tomorrow, I would probably say next Sunday, we're going to have a lively or spruce up, for lack of a better word, the podcast, because we're going to have Brother Kyle Butler here speaking with our own Brother Messenger. Again, as we unite on common ground, understanding what our existence is really about while we're here on this earth. And hopefully we can share a common light to the millions that let you know that what you've been told is not 100% correct. So I think the more times you hear that, then it becomes a greater part of your reality so that you can stop and say, wait a minute, let me put the brakes on for a minute and search myself. Not what's been pumped into me since birth, but let me look at this for myself and see what makes more sense to me. So again, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, No, and that's very important, and I do look forward to that, because I'll tell you this, anytime you can get someone speaking on love, because that's what it's all about. Because once you love yourself and you love God, you have no choice but to love everybody else, because you see things differently. And this is when you said for them to begin to search themselves and open up, they have to do that now, because even with religion, religion constantly talks about love. Now, while they're in the churches, in the synagogues, and all of these places, they say the same thing. But as soon as the service is over, then that whole concept of love, it has a tendency of differing, going elsewhere and not where it's supposed to be. We are supposed to be, our light shining is the love that we have for one another. This is how people can tell that there is a change in you. This is how people can change, can tell that you are connected to the source by the way that you love one another.
But I'll be the first to say, my brother, listen, I understand. Trust me, I understand the message and the philosophy. But it's hard, my man. It's hard to love somebody, and you know they don't. They at the first chance they get to do you dirty, they're
don't
gonna take
it.
That. It's
That's
hard.
Right.
It's an elevation of oneself to get there. But
right.
I'll tell anybody, I'm a disciple on the journey, man. But that's a hard task to ask somebody to love that person, and you know if that person had a chance. In the process of you showing them love to do you harm or do you ill,
that's right.
They will take it. So, you know, I tell people, we talk the talk, and I want you to know, once you get there, then none of the, all the seems immaterial. But ascending to that level of podcast audience, y'all remember me, because I'm trying to get there. But they make it. Some people make it hard for you, man.
And Brian, you're so true, and I want you to know I'm right there with you. But this is a process, because of all that we've been taught and been through all of our lives. This is a process. This is a process, and not many masters have been able to master. When you're able to do that, then you can be called a master, because you've mastered it. So we're not masters. We're just messengers.
So I'm that disciple that they say, when you take the pebble from my hand, it's time for you to leave. But I'm that disciple that's been there about 50 years, man.
Hey!
Hey,
truth be told, my brother, you say 50 years, you might want to try maybe 300 years. You might want to try that, bro. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because this is a journey. And so technically, whether you want to understand it or not, but from where you were in your life, your last life, you've moved a great distance. Because you're coming into the awareness of who you really are.
Okay.
Man.
All before you thought you was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Huh? Mm-hmm. You thought you had to do this. You had to get on the mourner bench. You thought you had to ask a certain way for forgiveness. Forgiveness for what? I mean, when I say forgiveness, I meant forgiveness to God. But there are some people we might have done wrong. We can ask for their forgiveness. Well, we don't even really have to ask for their forgiveness. We could just let them know that we apologize, and we're going to do our best not to do it again. But forgiveness?
Hey, my brother, we're down to 50 seconds left to the end of this show. As always, I always enjoy hearing you, and I enjoy the fact that we have the capability to spread God's word over this podcast. Again, every Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday at 11 o'clock, we're here putting out God's word, not anything other than God's word, trying to get us to understand that we are directly connected to the Father. And if we would only wake up and understand that, The power, and when I say power, I don't mean power as in armies or power as in anything other than ultimate beautiful power that we have embodied inside us will be released. Hey, everybody, have a wonderful evening, and I look forward to speaking with everybody tomorrow night. Hey, good night, audience.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Good night, and I thank you all.
Hey!